10 years ago, I had the privilege of hearing the story of Berean's start and the Gospel Tabernacle and Adrian Bible Fellowship. And as I sat and listened, as several folks, I interviewed them and talked to them, I was amazed at all the things that had to happen, all the pieces that had to fit, and everything that took place in order for this church to be here, in order for many to be saved. We figured out approximately 60,000 people have trusted Christ as Savior in the last 70 years, and many of you are sitting right here, right now. And just it amazed me, and I sat down and wrote out what is the script for the program tonight. And I want you to make sure and notice the screen here and watch during in between the scene changes and that, some of the pictures. You might recognize a young you, and we've got some old pictures from our archives that I think will be a blessing to many. And I want you just to kind of go back in your mind to the late 1930s and early 1940s, World War II, a depression, and a time where people were really wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. And that is the setting for the start of Berean Baptist Church. I introduce to you Berean's First Christmas.
It was 1938, and the United States was in the midst of the Depression. Rumors of war were in the air. For many, it was a discouraging time. In Adrian, Michigan, there was a group of people who met each week at the Gospel Tabernacle. Though it was not an official church, the services were lively, with people getting saved weekly.
Let's all stand together and sing number 89 in our hymnals, Angels We Have Heard on High. Before preacher, he actually comes and brings the sermon for the day. The choir will sing, "Oh, Magnify the Lord."
We shall hold. In these hard times, it's good to praise the Lord. Often great things happen in the midst of hard times.
Preacher Yaxley was a special man, always looking for God to do great things, even in the midst of trials. After his sermon, he would often go and spend time helping those who attended the services.
Tonight, I'll be with our dear friend and brother in Christ, Wynn Bennett. He's a very sick man tonight, and he does not have long to live. Pray for his son, Harold, tonight. He needs to get saved.
The preacher went to the Bennett home that night, not knowing the importance of that one visit.
Bessie, why does the preacher have to come here anyway?
Now, Harold, you know that he loved those people.
I know, but there's nothing he can do for Dad now. Come on in, Reverend. I'll take you to my father.
Thanks, Harold. By the way, we're all praying for you.
I'll save your prayers for my father.
Oh, preacher, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you, Wynn.
I guess you've come to watch me go to heaven.
Dad, don't talk that way.
Wynn, let me read some scripture for you tonight, if I could. John chapter 14. Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Let's sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Bessie, they're in there singing. My dad's about ready to die, and they're singing.
The two men continued to talk, sing, and quote the Bible. Eventually, Harold and Bessie fell asleep as the evening turned to night and then to morning.
Bessie, I must have fallen asleep. It's morning. Did you hear the preacher leave?
Harold, he's still here. Look.
Oh, Dad, I feel so bad for you.
Don't, Harold. Your dad's in heaven with Jesus. The angel came for him about an hour ago.
That's what you believe.
Oh, that's what he believed.
All I know is this is the worst day of my life.
And it could become the best day of your life if you'd only believe as your father believed. You see, Jesus came one dark night to be born, to live a perfect life, and then to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world.
But why would he care for me?
One reason, he loves you. John 3:16 in the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Well, I don't have time for that, but I do know one thing. You loved my dad, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you stayed with him all night. I promise I'll come and hear you preach someday.
Preacher Yaxley had made a lasting impression on Harold. He saw something that night he had never seen before, God's love. Not just in how the preacher stayed all night with his dying dad, but also in how his dad so peacefully died. In just a few short weeks, Harold kept his promise as he and his family visited the Gospel Tabernacle.
Thank you.
let's turn our hymnals, please, to 423, Joy to the World, 423.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and
special this week is a special song for Christmas, Love Was When.
To be the propitiation for our sins.
Preacher Yaxley preached on the subject that Harold had been thinking about since his dad died, the love of God. He'd heard it all before, but now it seemed different.
And in conclusion, God is offering eternal life to each and every one of us. It's His free gift. Why don't you come right now and receive it for yourself? Let's stand together as the music plays.
Thank you. born in a manger long time ago. Jesus left heaven to dwell on earth. Now in the stillness he comes again. Now I have witnessed his birth. Born in my heart, born in my heart, Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He is no more a stranger. My heart is his manger, for Jesus is born in my heart. No room for Jesus, ruler of all. Never a dwelling to call his own. Come now, Lord Jesus, conquer my heart. Enter and set up thy throne. Born in my heart, born in my heart, Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He is no more a stranger. My heart is his manger, for Jesus is born in my heart. For Jesus is born in my heart.
Folks, Harold Bennett has trusted Jesus as a Savior. Pray for him now as he grows in the Lord.
Though all was well in the small town of Adrian, all was not well in the rest of the world. In 1939, Germany, under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, invaded Poland to begin World War II. Later, on December 7, 1941, the Japanese brought the U.S. into the war with their sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. Harold Bennett and his family were now going to all of the services at the Gospel Tabernacle. Harold was growing in the Lord and was excited about what God was doing in his life. Late in 1942, a group of people, including Harold and his family, believed that it was God's will that they form a church in the area. On December 10, 1942, the following letter was sent out throughout the city.
Adrian, Michigan, December 10, 1942. Dear friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be interested to learn that there is to be something new in your community. For quite some time, God has laid upon the hearts of a group of men and women the need for an independent testimony for Christ in this area that should be organized and governed in strict accordance with the teachings of New Testament Scripture. After weeks of earnest prayer and deliberation, this group has felt led of the Lord to begin such a work in Adrian. The Lord has been pleased to make available for our place of meeting the auditorium of the Masonic Temple, located on the corner of East Maumee and Broad Street. The Reverend C.S. Rossboro has accepted the invitation recently extended to him by this group to serve as pastor and will be in charge of the first services to be conducted next Sunday, December 13th at 11 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. respectively. The decision to begin such a work at this particular time has been made fully conscious of the unusual conditions under which we are now living and of the tremendous responsibilities being placed upon us. But all about us are hearts that are bleeding and broken. These are the days when men need to be brought face to face with God and his claims upon them, as well as his willingness and ability to help them. In the midst of the conditions of the present hour, there is a place and a need for the testimony and ministry of a group of Christian men and women who will go all out for Jesus Christ. The burden of our heart is for the salvation of the lost at home and abroad. The supreme purpose and object of our effort shall be to bring honor and glory and praise unto our precious Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We invite your earnest and prayerful consideration of this new movement for the salvation of souls and for the glory of God. Yours through matchless grace, Fred Anger, Temporary Chairman.
On December 13th, 1942, the new church held their first service with Pastor C.S. Rossboro presiding.
Since it's the Christmas season, let's all sing some Christmas songs.
Let's stand together and sing, quite a few. Let's start with, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Let's stand. Join with us if you'd like.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, Lord, the King of angels.
This church is starting in the midst of war and depression. And we are called to be a light in the midst of darkness.
Amen. Amen.
Just as Jesus Christ came and gave his all for us, we must go all out for him.
Amen.
All around us, souls are hurting and souls are dying. They must find out that Jesus loves them.
That's
and
right.
Therefore, there is hope.
Amen.
Soon you'll have the opportunity to become a charter member of this church. Imagine the difference that we could make.
I'm going to be a charter member.
Me too. I want to be one too.
You can't. You're too young.
No, I'm not.
Quiet, children, or you'll get the switch.
The people took the pastor's words to heart. They went all out. Each week, most of the members went soul winning in the community. Many people were saved, and eventually they, too, told others about the Lord. However, in November of 1943, God called Pastor Rossborough to another ministry in Chicago. The people of the church, though saddened by his leaving, continued to serve the Lord and prayerfully sought God's will in finding a new pastor. This would be another opportunity for God to do something great in the midst of a trial.
Folks, I know these are troubling times, but these are also special times. Remember, I was saved during troubled times.
Gordon, tell them about Sunnyside.
Well, Bessie, the way I understand it, there is a lady in Sunnyside that has such a burden for the underprivileged children out there, and it's gone so far as that she has even invited an evangelist to go out and be a help and a blessing to all those people out there.
Wait a minute. There's no way that we can come close to meeting his expenses.
Now, Bessie, I disagree. I think we should all go out there and be a blessing to this man of God.
In those days, Sunnyside was a poor neighborhood in Adrian, especially during the Depression. The people there had many needs and often felt a sense of hopelessness. The Reverend E.A. Hook, a well-known Baptist evangelist, had been invited to preach a revival in this neighborhood. Upon arrival, he realized that there would probably not be offerings enough even to cover his expenses. However, his heart went out to these people. He knew that it was God's will that he was there.
We have a great crowd here tonight.
Amen.
And let me say, we've already seen several people saved during the meetings.
Amen.
Amen.
The preacher preached with power, and at the invitation, many others trusted Jesus as their Savior. Something special was indeed happening. The leaders of Adrian Bible Fellowship soon decided to ask the evangelist to pray about becoming their pastor. The preacher and the people both felt that it was God's will, and E.A. Hook became the new pastor of the church. Pastor Hook made it clear that eventually the church would need to change their name to reflect their Baptist belief. Finally, in September of 1944, the church became known as Berean Baptist Church.
We are Berean because we believe in searching the scriptures daily.
Amen.
And having searched, we receive the word with all readiness of mind. We're Baptist because we believe what Baptists have always believed, that God has given us every word of scripture and that no scripture is of private interpretation. God means what he says.
Amen.
We are saved by grace through faith and not of works. Jesus is God, born of a virgin to die for our sins so that we can go to heaven instead of hell when we die.
Yes.
We believe that Jesus is coming again, and afterwards the earth will go through 7 years of tribulation. As a church, we are called out by God to carry out his commission of telling everyone here and abroad the wonderful gospel that Jesus saves. Let's go all out.
Amen.
Again, the people responded to the message of the man of God. Harold Bennett's youngest daughter, Donna, was the first person baptized after the church name was changed. Her parents were active in the soul-winning ministry. Every week, they would go out into the community door to door, inviting people to come to church and to trust Christ as their Savior.
Yes, may I help you?
Yes, we are Harold and Bessie Bennett from Berean Baptist Church.
Come on in. We're Charles and Ruby Pearson. These are our boys, Chuck, Clark, and Denver. Did you say Baptist Church?
Yes, Berean Baptist Church.
We just moved here from Oklahoma. We've been looking for a Baptist church.
Wonderful. Are you folks Christians?
Ruby and I are. How did you just happen to come by our house tonight?
Well, this is part of our soul winning ministry.
This sounds like a church we'd like to attend.
You got any pretty girls?
Chuck.
That Sunday, the Pearsons visited Berean, and not long after that, they joined. Chuck, their oldest son, soon realized his need for salvation and was saved. A deacon named B.J. Whitaker began to disciple him. It wasn't long before he spotted Donna Bennett. Because of many teen activities, he found himself with her quite often. He would actively pursue her, though she, most of the time, showed little interest. Eventually, though, God's will became clear to her that this would be her husband.
Dad, I'm glad you go soul winning.
Yes, sweetheart, it's good to obey God. In fact, our church has received many blessings because of soul winning.
Yes, blessings.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, remember several years ago when you knocked on the Pearson's door?
Yes. Does this have something to do with Charles?
Well, Dad, you know that he got saved and baptized, and he really loves the Lord. For several years now, he's been chasing me. At first, I wasn't interested, but he wouldn't give up. Now, I'm really interested. In fact, I want to marry him. Dad, please pray for us that we do God's will.
I'll always pray for you.
Thanks, Dad.
And so Chuck and Donna were married on April 8th, 1950, brought together by soul winning. They both went on to serve the Lord at Berean. Chuck would lead many folks to Christ, including Dale Stewart. Dale, through soul winning, would lead Dale and Debbie Bowman to Christ. The Bowmans now go out soul winning every week. The Depression and World War II would eventually end. The Vietnam War, Korean conflict, and Persian Gulf War would come and go. Two events which occurred in those difficult days continue to have an impact upon many people. Born again in the midst of tragedy, Harold Bennett went on to obey God and serve him. Out soul winning, he found the young man who would one day marry his daughter. Their marriage happily lives on today after 62 years. A church born in the midst of war with a calling, a conviction, and a command to go all out for the cause of Christ lives on after nearly 70 years. The Berean Baptist Church is still going all out to serve their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Are thou, Lord.
marvelous.
Our Lord is great and marvelous. This morning I preached, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this," out of Esther. And we see God's hand. We see God work. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, is she all right? You all right? All right. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, we see God getting Saul's attention. You remember Saul, the Bible says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Literally, he's going to persecute the church. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And Saul was on his way to persecute the church and really had no idea what was about to take place. The Bible says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and he was going on his own way, doing his own thing, but God got his attention. God got his attention on the way to persecute God's church. And you know, God can get our attention. I think of Harold Bennett and how God got his attention. It took the death of his father and a preacher there and all the teaching and all the preaching and all that he'd heard, but it all came down to watching his father go to be with the Lord and watching how peaceful he went to heaven. And God got his attention. And God used that in his life through the preaching and the word of God. Harold Bennett trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think about the little group at the Gospel Tabernacle. And it was depression. And there was rationing going on. And then the World War II started. And Pearl Harbor is attacked. And all of a sudden the U.S. is in the midst of war. And God got their attention and caused people to stop and think about their own eternity. And God got that little group's attention that ended up becoming the Adrian Bible Fellowship and eventually Berean Baptist Church. As a pastor, I've seen it many, many times when God has to get our attention. Sometimes it's like it was with Harold Bennett. It's at a deathbed of a loved one. Sometimes it's at the workplace when we're laid off from our job. Sometimes it's at the scene of a wreck and God has to get your attention. Sometimes it's in a hospital room. Sometimes it's at a funeral home or maybe out at a cemetery somewhere. Often, God has to get our attention. I think about how God maybe got your attention when you finally listened to the preaching. You listened to the soul winner. You listened. You read the tract that somebody gave you. But God finally got your attention. Finally got you to listen. Got you to think about, where will I spend eternity? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure of that answer. You couldn't say tonight, "I know I'm going to heaven. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven." I hope God's got your attention. Hope you'll think about that tonight. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus came. He lived a perfect life, and he died to pay for our sins. I've watched God get the attention of Christian after Christian after Christian. Sometimes it's in the area of giving. God has to get our attention. Sometimes it's in the area of just simply surrendering, and God has to get our attention. Sometimes it's in the area of doing whatever it is God wants us to do. I've watched God get people's attention over and over and over again. I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of going soul winning years ago when I was in Flint, Michigan, and I went soul winning with an Italian fella named Tony Ricci. And you can tell by the name. I mean, this guy, I often wondered if he had connections to the mafia. But I remember one time we were soul winning, and he was getting frustrated. He was kind of a busy kind of a guy, and he was a very active guy. And the people, you know, I went through the plan of salvation with him and talked to him. And finally, he just looked up, and he just blurted out, "So what's it going to take? So what's it going to take?" And I thought, is he going to pull a gun? I mean, what is he talking about? What's it going to take? You know? And he said, "So what's it going to take to get your attention? So what's it going to take?" And you know, I thought, God can get our attention. I ask you tonight, what is it going to take to get your attention to be saved? What is it going to take, Christian, to get your attention to just say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? What is it going to take to get us to go all out for the Lord Jesus Christ?